You know, that song kind of sums it up, doesn't it? How great thou art. I don't know if you know too much about that song, but it was written actually back in the year 1949. It's a rather new hymn. Some of the hymns that we sing in our hymnal are much, much older. And it actually came from an old or an ancient Swedish melody. Stuart Hines actually wrote the song, and when he wrote the words to that song, then one came along and with that Swedish melody, and it became a very, very popular song, and still is today. I think any of the great songs that bespeak about the love of God and the majestic nature of our Father who is in heaven are tremendously popular. The song that Brother A.W. Dykus wrote a number of years ago entitled Our God, He is Alive, certainly captured the very thing that we want to talk about tonight. How well do you know God? And how much time do you spend really getting to know God? You know, we talk of God as He's just some kind of creature out there, and we don't know really a whole lot about Him. A lot of people talk about Him. They say they love Him. They take His name in vain a lot of times, and that actually is the only time that a lot of people ever hear the name of God at all, and that is a great shame, isn't it? But isn't it wonderful to know tonight that you and I, as God's people, serve a living Lord, God Almighty, the one who said, I am. You know, Jesus never did say, I was, or I will be, nor did God, but God always said, I am the great I am. And He always has been. Even in the Old Testament, you remember when Moses went up to Mount Sinai to receive the law of God. And he had to go backward instead of looking facially at God. And God told Moses when he was concerned about going before Pharaoh and all the issues that the Israelite nation would face. And Moses was saying, well, what shall I say? And he just said, I am sent me. That is, God sent me. He is the one. And I'm glad tonight that we serve not a God who was or a God who will be at some particular point in life, but a God who deals with us in the present. Many people ask the question, is God real? Is He actually real? And how real is He? Well, someone said something one time that really captured my eye, and I saved it for this lesson. I just thought it was a great statement. I would rather live my life as if there is a God and die to find out that there isn't than to live my life as if there isn't a God and die and find out that there is. But you know what? We are going to find out that God is very much alive. He is, and how great thou art. I can tell you one thing. King David in the 14th chapter of the book of Psalms in verse 1 said that only a foolish man would deny the existence of God. And he said it in this way, that the fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. You know, when you look at the universe in which we live, we look upon planet Earth, and we look at all the creativity of our God, we're reminded of David's words also in Psalm 19 and verse 1, where he says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth showeth forth His handiwork, and the heavens declare the glory of God. But if there is a God, where is God? Now, it may surprise you for me to say tonight that God is everywhere. He is. He's here tonight. He's with His people, wherever they may be worshiping Him. He is in the world, sustaining and actually taking care of His creation. When Paul went to Athens, Greece, in the book of Acts chapter 17, he said that in this God we live and we move and we have our very being. So God is alive. You're alive tonight because there is a God in heaven and a God who lives within your heart. You are alive tonight and your heart has not stopped beating and you have not stopped breathing because God is sustaining your life. But where is He? Well, the best place to go to find out the answer to that question is to the Word of God or to the Bible. That Bible is not really defined up here, but that's what it is. And if you're looking for answers, they're in the Bible. Oh, you could truthfully say that look at the creation of God. All of this tells us that there is a God. Human beings didn't just happen along. And, you know, we have a lot of people that say today that humankind originated because some kind of lovesick amoeba kind of crawled out on the seashore somewhere and got together with one of likeness, and man started evolving, and here we go. But that's not the way that man evolved. Man didn't evolve to begin with, because God actually created man. In the early chapters of the book of Genesis, we find God saying that he created them male and female. He made you the way you are. And isn't it a sad thing for all these people that have such great difficulty discerning whether they are male or whether they are female? Let me tell you something about all that. God does not make mistakes. If he made you as a male, you are a male. Don't transgender to try to change transgender into something that you are not. If he made you a female, you are a female, and that is the way that God made you, and we have to accept this. The Bible says, "Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." 1 John 2 and verse 3. But how well do you know God? You know, in the book of Psalms, again, 139, David said, "From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." People ask the question, wonder how old God is. And we've got these scientists are saying that because of carbon dating, we can tell how old the earth is. I can tell you how old the earth is in terms of recorded history of mankind upon this earth. It's about 6,000 years. And that's about all that we have. We know that the Mosaic Age lasted, well, the Patriarchal Age lasted for about 25 years. The Mosaic Age lasted for about 15. And here we are into the Christian dispensation. So around somewhere in round figures, about 6,000 years. Sometimes people want to get into arguments with preachers, you know, about the existence of God and how old the earth is and the scientists with this carbon dating process. And, you know, I don't know exactly how old the earth is. I know how old mankind is in general when he first became a part of this beautiful creation of God. But when you think about the earth itself, I don't know how old it was. Because you know why? The earth was under water to begin with. It had its form, but it was under water. And one of the first commandments of God was let the dry land appear. And the earth emerged out of water. Isn't that amazing? So I don't know how long it was underwater. I don't know how long the elements were. I couldn't begin to tell you tonight. But I can tell you, according to the Bible, that mankind has lived on the face of the earth for a little over 6,000 years. And it is amazing when you think about God. We sing that song, our God is an awesome God. He is an awesome God. There are some things about God I want you to know, and I want to share with you, and I hope you can digest all of this. First of all, concerning the truth of God's knowledge. Isn't it amazing how knowledgeable our God is? We talk about our knowledge and how we need to acquire it. And the Bible says we're to add to our faith virtue, knowledge. And so we understand why we should be knowledgeable folks. In the Old Testament, God said to Moses that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Knowledge is power. We always talk about the internet being the information highway. Well, you want to know more about Jehovah God? It's in this book. This is where you read about God, as you're going to see here tonight. And in Psalms 139, verse 1 through 6, the Lord, David says, has searched me and he has known me. God knows you. He knows every little intricate part of your body and your existence. He made you. You are not. People sometimes talk about men and women having a baby and they say, well, it was an accident. No, it's no accident. There are no accidents with God. And when God creates life, there is no accident. accident. In the book of Job, chapter 38 and verse 4, is a very interesting question here that God asked of Job. You know, sometimes people that think they know all about God know very little about God, and that's why we need to get to know Him better. He said, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?" Where were you? You know, Job was one who asked a lot of questions of God. He did. He asked a lot of things, and many of them God didn't answer, but He did answer a lot of the questions of Job. But I want you to look how He did it. He did it oftentimes in question form. In this particular passage in Job, He says, "Where were you when I made the earth?" If you think you're so knowledgeable and you know all about life and living, if you're so smart, answer me, He says. "And who decided how big the earth should be?" Not man, but God. "Who measured it with a measuring line? And what is the earth resting on?" You see, God knew He hung it in space, and that's where it is tonight. "Who put the first stone in its place? And when the morning stars sang together and the angels shouted with joy? Or who closed the floodgates of the sea that gushed from the womb? Who covered it with clouds and wrapped it in darkness?" That was God. "I set," He says, "the limits for the sea and put it behind locked gates. And I said to the sea, 'You can come this far, but no farther.'" That's why we say that God is the one who makes the rain to fall on the just and then the unjust. "This is where your proud ways," He says, "will stop." Yes, the Lord knows you, and He knows you too well. The Lord Himself, according to Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8, will go before you and will be with you, and He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. That's the kind of God I want to serve, isn't it, you? It is. You know, sometimes I fear that we come together in a church house and we sing songs and we listen to the announcements and we pray prayers, but how well do we know God when we are going through all of that? Do you realize that when we're singing, we're not just singing together just to reach out and admonish one another, even though that's true. Ephesians 5:19 said we're to sing and make melody in our heart to who? Not to the church, but to the Lord. And we have to remember that when we're singing to the great God of the universe. Now, that doesn't negate the fact that you and I encourage one another in song, and we do. But this great God that we serve is truly omniscient. He knows everything, and He sees everything. He does. "For Thou hast beset me behind and before, and You have laid Your hand upon me. And such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high, I cannot attain unto it." And isn't it hard for us? It was for David. It's hard for us in our mind to visualize a God who's really controlling all that. I mean, He controls the sun rising and the sun going down. He controls the atmosphere, even the winds of the earth. They are all controlled by God. Our awesome God is always there. And, you know, when you think about praying to this awesome God, there are three ways, and you've heard this said, but we need to be reminded of it, that God really answers us. Sometimes God in the heavens and at His throne answers our prayers with an affirmative yes. You know, it's really kind of like we do with one another, isn't it? Sometimes God just says, with His knowledge, knowing that right now is not the good time for you, and He says, "No, not yet, not yet." And then He says, thirdly, "I have something better in mind than what you have been praying about." It's astounding to me how people pray, and we pray about various things. And, you know, I really am amazed at the materialistic view of humankind. We don't pray very often for a stronger faith. We don't pray for spiritual strength. But we pray for material things out in the world, more so than anything else. But you know what? Even though Job asked all of those questions, the psalmist knew how well God knew him and how near God was to him in verses 7 through 12 of Psalms 139. Let me share these with you quickly. Thou knowest, David says, my downsitting and my uprising. You understand my thought that is afar off. You know, God even knows our thoughts. He controls our thoughts. He gives us the opportunity to control them as well. But I want God to control my thoughts. And I want to follow the words of Paul in the book of Philippians chapter 3 when he says that we're to think on things that are lovely, things that are of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. He knows when you go to bed. And you are acquainted with all of my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Isn't that something that God knows what we're going to... He knows what I'm going to speak. He knows what I'm going to say right now, just what I said. He knew it before I spoke it. But that's the nature of our God. And David said, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into the heavens, he says, thou art there. But if I make my bed, and the word translated hell there is the word Sheol, behold, thou art there in the unseen world. And if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me, and your right hand will hold me. The right hand has always been the strong hand. And if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. In terms of God, God knows you at night. He knows whether you're searching his word or whether you're, whatever you're doing. God is watching you constantly. But the night shineth as the light of day, and the darkness as the light are both alike unto thee. Now, God didn't fashion the earth with a moon and with a sun for himself, for he is eternal light. And heaven is a place where there's no need of the light, but there is a need of the sun, the S-O-N. But in God's term, there's no difference between light and darkness. He did that for mankind. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And he is the one to whom we stand accountable, Hebrews 4 and verse 13. But do you know God? Do you know him? The truth of God concerning his presence, the right now. As I said, he doesn't live in the past. He doesn't live in the future. He lives right now. If I ascend into the heaven, you're there. What if I ascend right now into the heaven, you are there. If I made my bed in the grave, behold, thou art there. Death does not hide us from God. Distance does not hide us from God. You couldn't run far enough to get away from God. The depths of the ocean cannot hide us from God, not according to verse 9 of that text. And darkness cannot hide us from God. Adam and Eve tried to hide from God. Verse 11, but God is ever, ever, that's the key word, isn't it? He is ever present in our lives. And that brings me to the last thought here. The truth concerning God's power. His knowledge is so important, his presence among us, but his power. You know, we always talk about nations that are superpowers, and people refer to America as a superpower. But did you know God could bring this nation down at any moment? He could. He could bring it to an end, and he could say the farce is over. But in Psalms 139, verse 13 through 16, he says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I knew when you were there in that womb." We got a lot of people deny the fact that a fetus is not just a protoplasm, but it is a human being that is being made and fashioned in the likeness of an eternal God. And he said, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well, and my substance was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eye did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance are fashioned," he says, "when as yet there was none of them." You know, there are three lessons in all of this tonight. It's the fact that God created us, he considers us, and he cares for us. And he does it for each individual, for me, for you, and for everyone on this great planet Earth. I like to think of this, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. You know, you and I are going to die one of these days, and we'll be away from the scenes of this life. And we'll be ushered into that Hadean world, into the presence of God, the unseen world, that we know very little about. And the Bible speaks very little about it. But what it does say about it is so profound. But you know what? Our God will never die. Remember when the Russian cosmonauts years ago, when they went up into space, said they couldn't find God and that God is dead? That's when Brother Dykus came along and wrote that song, "Our God, he is alive." And he is alive. But Jesus says to us, if we ignore God, he will ignore us in the day of judgment. Matthew 10 and verse 32. And too many people do ignore God. They write him off. But God is the one who loves you. He's the one who stands by you. He is the one who will care for you. He is the one who right now at this moment is working in your life. I hope that you'll allow him to continue to work. And if you're a child of God and you're a Christian and you know that your faith has waned, it hasn't really been as strong as it ought to be, why not turn back to God tonight? Seek the forgiveness that only our God can give. Repent of your sins and acknowledge him once again as God. And if you're not a Christian, tonight could be a wonderful night to be baptized into Christ. Just this last week, Pam Parker came to me and said, "You know, I've been thinking about my baptism, and I was baptized when I was age 12, and I just don't really think that I fully comprehended what I need to know." And she said, "I think I did it because everyone else was doing it, but I wasn't doing it for the right reason." It takes a lot of courage to say that, doesn't it? It may be tonight that you need to be baptized into Christ. And if that is the case, then we invite you to come and let's take care of that issue right now while we stand and while we sing.